So I'm going to tell you about some of our results from an examination of the impact, study of the impact of access to paid sick days on influenza in the workplace. I have no disclosures. So paid sick days are related to people's willingness to stay home from work when they're ill. And voluntary social distancing is a measure that is employed to contain contagious disease outbreaks. And for example, the CDC recommends that people with influenza stay home for 24 hours after the fever has resolved. Yet not everybody is able or willing to stay home, and not everyone is willing to stay home for that long either. So why do people work when they're ill? In addition to access to paid sick days, there are contextual factors such as managerial and peer support for staying home when you're ill. There's also individual-level factors such as worry about work not getting done in your absence, as well as guilt associated with missing work. And guilt has been shown to be more prevalent amongst women than in men. There's also the long-term job security, which comes into play amongst lower socioeconomic status workers. And in fact, in 2008, there was a conceptual model that was published that suggested that occupational factors, including access to paid sick days, could result in disparities in exposure to influenza and hence result in unequal levels of illness and death during a pandemic. And disparities in access do exist in the United States. This is data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that shows that as the size of the workplace increases, access to paid sick days also increases. And disparities also exist by wage of the worker. Legislations have been introduced or passed in various levels in the United States, including in the state of Pennsylvania, which is where I work, which has a bill under consideration. San Francisco, in fact, was the first city to pass a law that gives workers access to paid sick days. And health impact assessments of these bills have suggested that they would reduce transmission in the workplace. But in order to quantify that reduction, one needs to take into account things like the non-linearity associated with infection spread, as well as the fact that infection can spread on contact networks in various parts of society, including the workplace and schools and neighborhoods and households. So agent-based models actually are an ideal way to actually measure the quantify the reduction in influenza in the workplace that would come about from access to paid sick days. So we started with a hypothesis, which is that providing paid sick days would decrease influenza in the workplace, but that it would have a differential impact by workplace size. And our research question is to quantify this reduction in influenza in the workplace. So we use an agent-based model, which is FRED. It's the Framework for Reconstructing Epidemic Dynamics and was developed at the University of Pittsburgh with funding from NIGMS through the MIDAS study. And it uses synthetic populations that were developed by RTI International based on census data as well as American Community Survey data and LandScan data. So in the synthetic population, then agents have attributes which include age, sex, race, and employment status. And households also have attributes including income and location. Workers are assigned to workplaces based on commuting time and distance. And students are assigned to match enrollment by age in school. So this results in social networks in society, and this is what agents then do every day. They wake up, and then based on their age, they might either stay at home or go to school or the workplace, and then at the end of the day, they come back and interact in the neighborhood and in their households, and then go through the cycle again every weekday. And this is the individual infectious influenza disease model, and I'm not going to go into the details. It's based on published data. I just want to point out that our infectious period averages 4.1 days, and that agents can be either symptomatic or asymptomatic for influenza. And if they are symptomatic and they go into work when they're ill, they then transmit illness, and those cases that result from such workers are what we count as cases resulting from presenteeism. Asymptomatic workers who go into work when ill transmit illness, but those are not counted as cases resulting from presenteeism. All right, so our methods include a synthetic population of Allegheny County, which is a county in the southwestern part of Pennsylvania. It's the county that Pittsburgh is based in. We simulated an influenza epidemic over 100 days. We did 50 runs for each condition, and I'll get into the conditions in the next slide. And we'll present the mean of cumulative infections on day 100 of the epidemic. All right, so our conditions are a baseline condition where agents had current levels of access to paid sick days. And then we simulated what would happen if everybody had access to paid sick days, so universal access. And then we had a third condition, which was flu days, and I'll explain that when we get to it. All right, so the baseline condition, again, is based on data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In workplaces with 2 to 49 employees, 53% of workers had access to paid sick days, and this increased to 85% in the largest workplaces. So we gave our agents access to paid sick days based on these data. So now agents had an additional characteristic. They either did or did not have access to paid sick days. Amongst agents who had access, 72% stayed home from work if they were ill, and they stayed home for an average of 1.7 days of the infectious period. So as you can see, so for example, if they stayed home Monday and Tuesday, they went into work Wednesday and Thursday, and that's when they transmitted illness. And if they were symptomatic, that was illness due to presenteeism. And these are data based on Palmer et al., which is a published paper. If agents did not have access to paid sick days, 52% of them stayed home from work, and that's again based on a published paper. This paper did not tell us how many days they stay home for, so we assumed that they stay home for the same number of days as somebody with paid sick days. So these are some results, and this is a simulated epidemic with an influenza virus with a reproductive rate of 1.4, so roughly similar to the H1N1 pandemic. And so the attack rate amongst employed adults due to workplace transmission was 11.5%. Now, adults can get infected in various parts of the community, and what we are counting here are infections that result due to transmission in the workplace. So the hash mark bars show us the proportion of illnesses that result from presenteeism. And on average, it was 71% of all infections at work occurred due to presenteeism. All right, so now what happens if everybody has access to paid sick days? Now, right off the bat, the inequity associated with access to paid sick days is removed because now everybody has access. So under this condition, amongst all agents, 72% stay home when they're ill, and they stay home for an average of 1.7 days. So under this condition, then, we saw a reduction of 3,900 cases in Allegheny County, okay, which was about a 6% reduction from baseline. By workplace size, we saw the largest impact on the smallest workplaces. So the 2 to 49 employee workplaces saw a reduction of 7.2% of cases compared to baseline. And amongst the largest workplaces, this was a 3.3% reduction compared to the baseline. So universal access to paid sick days has the largest impact on the smallest workplaces. All right, so now flu days. Now, let me point out that the universal access condition increased the proportion of workers who stayed home from work, but it did not increase the number of days they stayed home from work. So we are defining flu days as an intervention or a policy that allows workers to stay home when they're ill with influenza. So essentially, with one flu day, a worker will stay home for one additional day when they're ill, and with two flu days, they would stay home for two additional days when they're ill. So here are our results. The attack rate amongst employed adults due to workplace transmission decreased to 8.6% compared to the baseline, which was 11.5%, and 7% with two flu days. And that translated to about 16,800 fewer cases with one flu day and about a 39% decrease with two flu days. Now, by workplace size, what we see is that the largest impact is on the largest workplaces. So this is different from the universal paid sick days condition. Over here, as the size of the workplace increases, the impact of flu days also goes up. Okay, so flu days have the largest impact on largest workplaces. So in conclusion, universal access to paid sick days reduces influenza infections due to workplace transmission by about 6%. Flu days have a larger impact on reducing infection in the workplace, 25% with one flu day and 39% with two flu days. And we're concluding that, therefore, a combination of universal paid sick days, which removes inequity in the workplace based on access to paid sick days, as well as an intervention such as flu days, which would increase the number of days spent at home, would have the largest and the most equitable impact on workplaces. Thank you.